Good morning, Reverend Steve here. Thank you so much for listening to this talk today, Pentecost Sunday. It's great to have you here. The reading this morning is Acts 2, verses 1 to 21, and I'm going to just read from the book of Acts a bit further into that reading, starting at verse 14. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and the glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's a bit of a relief, I always find, to be back in the book of Acts. Maybe that's because it just seems more familiar territory. Partly it's the way Luke writes. He writes, he's a doctor, we believe, and he writes in this lovely, straightforward, almost forensic kind of way. And he describes people and events that have a great ring of truth to them. I'm talking today about a very familiar character, Peter, and really his rebirth, his picture really of the way his life changes when he becomes full of the Spirit. What does he become like? And I think it's an extremely encouraging kind of picture. Why do we like Peter? Well, I think he's very likeable because he's so flawed. He has a tendency to want to be liked by other people, and this gets him into trouble. He has a tendency to open mouth and insert foot. And we also know, of course, that there's that really famous courage failure when he denies Jesus. Maybe he's also held back, or feels he's held back. He's not as clever, is he, as Paul is. He's not got that kind of mind. He's also got an extraordinary ability to make a fool of himself in front of important people. He jumps out of the boat and tries to get to Jesus and sinks. He has a strange and bizarre suggestion on the Mount of Configuration. So it's a difficult one. It really is. But we like him because he's like us. He's well drawn. He seems to be the kind of person like us. When I was back in the day, I used to be managing editor, and I was commissioning a lot of courses, and a lot of those courses were about the way organisations fit together. And one of the little books that I read then that left a real mark on me was by Jan Carlsen, and it's called Moments of Truth. Basically, the idea he had, he's one of the youngest chief executives in the whole of the aviation industry, and he took over SAS, which is the Swedish national carrier, and he just rejuvenated it. And he did so by looking at those tiny moments when we're called to do something special for people. In an organisation, it's that kind of that genuine smile you get when you meet people, that sorting out a problem when you thought it was going to be a disaster. All those things help us trust. And I've always kept that idea, you know, pretty close to my heart, because I agree with it. But we're in a way, aren't we, in a moment of truth right now. You know, COVID has asked of us where our heart is, what we're prepared to do and to be. Peter, of course, is in the middle of a moment of truth here. And what happens is the Holy Spirit really helps him. The Holy Spirit changes him. He goes from this kind of stumbling, bumbling character to this extraordinary person who can preach really knowledgeably about the Holy Scripture. He can draw connections. He can stand up for the kingdom and tell people, you're wrong. These people are not drunk, he says. It's only 9 in the morning. You're wrong. And we're getting like the lion has emerged from the pussycat. You know, here is Peter, the leader of this new church, the rock of the church, as Jesus forecast, has really become that now. Jesus knew that Peter had what it take, not because of his failings, but because the Spirit would transform him. And really, his story is so encouraging. If you're a shy person, or maybe you're someone who just likes to step back into the background, we read this and we see Peter being able to become the person that he's meant to be. Now, it doesn't mean that all of us are going to be up the front, as it were. It doesn't mean that all of us are going to be good speakers. That's fine. We've all got different jobs to do, each of them of equal value. But the point is that the Holy Spirit, as we see on this day of Pentecost, will help us to become the people that we are called to be. What does it mean? How do we welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives? Well, the first thing I'd say is the Holy Spirit's already at work. He's at work in the whole world. He's at work in communities, in places. And in a way, what we need to do is join in with what he's doing. You know, the Holy Spirit wants nothing other than social justice. He wants the brokenhearted to be made good. And our job, as we do here so often, is to join in with that kind of work. That's Holy Spirit business that we do. But there's something I find is that I simply, sometimes in my prayers, just say, Holy Spirit, would you come and help me? That's just a simple request. I often find when I make that prayer, an enormous sense of peace descends upon me. That's the peace of the Lord. I encourage you to know that the Holy Spirit is not really the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life in you with Jesus, a real being, part of the Holy Trinity. So, I leave that with you. I know that today is when we honour the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But what I know too is that he's deeply in this place already. Amen.